Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
It's so much more than just a profile picture. At Catholic Singles, our platform offers you many opportunities to get to know the person behind the picture. Sign up today at CatholicSingles.com.
Good News Ministries of GNM.org. It's the Catholic place for growing your faith. Good News Ministries will provide you with faith-building reflections, virtual retreats, prayer resources, and lots more. All of it is free. Visit GNM.org today.
Hi, and welcome to Simply Holy, where we uncomplicate holiness with Mary as our mentor. I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and today's show is all about holy complaining. That's right, holy complaining. And we'll get into that more when we get into the show. I'll give you a little preview here. First of all, in this topic of complaining, we're going to talk about Job, our friend Job from the Old Testament. He had a right to complain. How did he handle it? Then we're going to talk about holy complaining. So how can complaining be holy? And what is holy complaining? And then finally, we're going to be talking about the complaining Psalms. That's right, the complaining Psalms, especially Psalm 88, 102, and 77. Good stuff in the Psalms. First of all, let me express my gratitude for your support and prayers. Thank you so much for spreading the word about the show. Thank you for helping me lead the world to Christ through Mary. That's really my mission. That's really the mission of all of us, my friends, leading the world to Christ through Mary. Let's pray. Let's pray before we go further. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity to be together. Thank you, dear Mother Mary, for urging me to speak about today's topic, and for urging my listener to join me in this podcast. Thank you for your goodness to us. You are always good and merciful to us. Heavenly Father, we ask, please, for open hearts and minds so that we may savor the message that Christ and our Blessed Mother have for us today. In Jesus' name, through Mary's intercession, we pray. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Again, I'm Marge Steinhage-Fenelon, and we have a great show for you today as we talk about holy complaining. Holy complaining. Amazing, isn't it? We're taught that complaining is bad. You know, if you complain, you're a wimp, or you're not strong enough. You know, complainers are told, just pull yourself up by your bootstraps. Stop complaining. You know, be a man, be a woman, be an adult, whatever the case may be. You know, complaining is seen as a negative, and in many respects it is. But there is such a thing as holy complaining, and that's why I feel compelled to talk to you about it today, right here, right now. Now, the first point in today's topic is Job, our friend Job. So if you aren't familiar with Job, he underwent a time of testing, terrible suffering, being tested with suffering after suffering. He had a right to complain. Job had a right to complain. He was angry with God. He was angry with what was happening to him and his family. They had catastrophe after catastrophe befall them. And he had a right to complain. Job had it really hard. He complained about his treatment at the hands of God, and he was right to do it. He was absolutely right to complain. Because why? Because he was an innocent man. He was a completely innocent man suffering something that he didn't merit. Job didn't merit the suffering that he was asked to endure. You see, he didn't merit it, so he had a right to complain. He had a right to complain. What did he do? He called out to God. He called out to God. He asked God for answers. That was his complaining. He called out to God, asking for answers, and he told God, he complained to God about the unfairness of his situation, and it was indeed fair. If you get a chance, make the time. And especially if you're suffering right now and you're puzzled by your suffering, read the book of Job. But does this mean that Job wavered in his trust of God? Because he complained, does that mean he was a wimp? Did it mean that he lost his trust in God? No, not at all. Not at all. You see, Job called out to God from where he was emotionally, psychologically, and spiritually. You see, Job's complaining was honest communication with God. And honest communication with God, when done yet in reverence, is a good thing. It's a holy thing. Job's complaining was a cry for God's mercy, a cry for God's help in understanding and enduring what was happening to him. He didn't understand why he was being asked to endure that. He didn't know how he was going to get through it. His complaining was a cry out to God. And through this honest communication with God, this crying out to God, Job found peace. He found peace. Things weren't made all better suddenly. But what was made better was that he found peace. He came to peace through his sincere prayer, which was holy complaining. God, I can't bear this anymore. God, I need you. God, I can't find you in this mess. Where are you? This was God's ask, you know, it's what he asked of Job. And this was God, the other way around, Job's question of God, help me out here. I'm puzzled, I'm confused. I'm absolutely empty of any strength left in me. That's Job's holy complaining. So let's look more at this holy complaining, because I think it's a goal for all of us. And it's a grace. Being able to complain in a holy way is actually a gift. It's a grace. Job's complaining was holy, because he cried out in desperation. You see, holy complaining is a cry out to God. And in that holy complaining, Job admitted his weakness. Now here's the key. Job admitted his weakness and at the same time acknowledged God as the all-powerful one. He acknowledged his weakness and acknowledged God as the all-powerful one. His complaining, his holy complaining, was done reverently and still acknowledging God as his creator, as his father, as his ruler, as the all-powerful, all-merciful, all-loving one. You see, that is holy complaining. When we understand our place and God's place, and yet we cry out to God, our complaining is holy when we acknowledge our weakness and God's strength. That's holy complaining. Complaining is holy when it is intended to draw us closer to God. Complaining is holy when it's intended to help us understand what's going on. Complaining is holy when it's intended to help us to cope and embrace what it is that God is sending us. Because no suffering is sent frivolously. God doesn't send us suffering for the heck of it. And we've talked about that in other podcasts. But that's the crux of it, is that complaining is holy when it is intended to lead us to a greater good. It's not holy. Complaining is unholy when it is cursing or insulting God. That is not the same thing. When we complain and we speak against God, against his power, against his might, against his mercy, against his love, against his omnipotence, against his power, all of those things, when we stand there and curse out God and defy him, defy his holiness, defy his wisdom, that is completely different. That violates the first commandment. That is not holy complaining. When you rail on God and belittle him, that is unholy complaining, and that's dangerous territory. But when you cry out to God and honestly communicate to him what you're thinking, what you're feeling, what you're experiencing, where you are spiritually, emotionally, psychologically, when it's honest communication done with still honoring who God is, then it's holy complaining, and it's a good thing. It's a good thing. Now, there are some psalms that I want to recommend to you, particularly when you're in the midst of your suffering and confusion. Either you've been there, you're there right now, or you will be, because that's the human condition. We suffer, and that's part of our life, part of our journey to heaven. There are psalms that are called the Psalms of Lament and Complaint. No kidding. They're really called that. I'm not making that up. The Psalms of Lament and Complaint. Now, I could give you a long, long list, and we don't have time on the show today for me to just list them all. But if you would do a search, if you would do an online search and just type in the words complaining psalms or psalms of lament and complaint, you will find list upon list upon list, because of the 150 psalms, many, 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 many of them are psalms of lament or complaint, because they are lamenting. They are the poetry of the suffering and journey of the Israelites. So the complaining psalms, all of the psalms, in fact, are prayers. They're prayers, but they're prayers to God, not about God. That's important to remember. They're prayers to God, not about God. They're speaking directly to God. And I personally think that's why they're so very beautiful. Because they're a great help in trying to express my own self, for me personally, trying to express myself when I just really don't know what to say. So the complaining psalms are prayers to God, not about God. They're reaching out. They're those cries to God. They're the cry outs to God. They are cries to God seeking His mercy, seeking understanding, and seeking His help. They're human. They're very human. The Psalms are human. And what I mean by that is they are based on the very human suffering of the Israelites. And the suffering of the Israelites are not so unlike the sufferings we endure today in our personal lives, but then also in the world at large right now. There's a lot of suffering. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of lament. And so when we pray the Psalms, when we read the Psalms, when we sit with them and meditate with them, we could take that context and place ourselves into it. And that's why the Psalms are so beautiful. They can offer us great solace in our suffering. They can help us to gracefully structure our cries to God. And this is why I particularly like them when I am lost. And believe it or not, I do not have it all together, and I am often lost. And to be able to go to the Psalms and read the psalm and put myself into it really helps me. It helps me to have holy complaining and not to rage and to be destructive in my thinking, or God forbid, literally, that I would be disrespectful to our Lord. Now, I want to share with you, and we don't have a lot of time, but I want to share with you Psalm 88, because I want you to get a taste of what I mean by this, okay? And literally, the title of it is A Despairing Lament. A Despairing Lament. Now, listen to this and put yourself into it. If you're not suffering about anything at all right now, oh, I'm so happy for you. But if you are, come with me and put yourself into this psalm. So here it is. It's so beautiful. It's a wee bit long, but I think it's worth having me pray it with you during this show. Lord my God, I call out by day. At night, I cry aloud in your presence. Let my prayer come before you. Incline your ear to my cry. For my soul is filled with troubles. My life draws near to Sheol. I am reckoned with those who go down to the pit. I am weak without strength. My couch is among the dead, with the slain who lie in the grave. You remember them no more. They are cut off from your care. You plunged me into the bottom of the pit, into the darkness of the abyss. Your wrath lies heavy upon me. All your waves crash over me. Because of you, my friends shun me. You make me loathsome to them. Caged in, I cannot escape. My eyes grow dim from trouble. All day I call on you, Lord. I stretch out my hands to you. Do you work wonders for the dead? Do the shades arise and praise you? Is your love proclaimed in the grave, your fidelity in the tomb? Are your marvels declared in the darkness, your righteous deeds in the land of oblivion? But I cry out to you, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why do you reject me, Lord? Why hide your face from me? I am mortally afflicted. Since youth, lifeless, I suffer your terrible blows. Your wrath has swept over me. Your terrors have reduced me to silence. All the day they surge round like a flood. From every side they close in on me. Because of you, companions shun me. My only friend is darkness. Now, it ends kind of bleak. I understand that. Many of the Psalms, particularly the ones of lament or complaining, many of them have a turn at the end that really offers hope. And I the reason I chose Psalm 88 was because of that, because it ends kind of boom in that deep darkness. But don't we all feel that way from time to time? Don't we feel stuck in that deep darkness? But do you see how the psalmist, do you see how that is? Not once during that lament, not once during those cries, did the psalmist turn on God. What was happening there was a very honest communication of how the psalmist was feeling in response to the suffering that was being endured. You see the difference there? Now here is one that ends a little better. And this is Psalm 77. And then I'm going to end the show, I think, because I don't want to go on and on just reading Psalms to you. But I think this is worth it right now for the sake of your meditation. So this is Psalm 77. It's confidence in God during national distress. Remember, the Israelites were a nation, okay? But put yourself in that situation, distress of your own, in your own life. And it goes like this. I cry aloud to God, cry to God to hear me. On the day of my distress, I seek the Lord. By night, my hands are raised unceasingly. I refuse to be consoled. When I think of God, I groan. As I ponder, my spirit grows faint. My eyes cannot close in sleep. I am troubled and cannot speak. I consider the days of old, the years long past I remember. In the night I meditate, in my heart I ponder, and my spirit broods. Will the Lord reject us forever, never again to show favor? Has God's love ceased forever? Has the promise failed for all ages? Has God forgotten mercy in anger, withheld compassion? I conclude, my sorrow is this, the right hand of the Most High has left us. I just want to pause here, friends, and point out the direction that this lament is taking. It's an expression of feeling abandoned, but by no means is the psalmist accusing God. He's asking. Now it starts to turn to more positive. Here's the rest of the psalm. I will remember the deeds of the Lord. Yes, your wonders of old I will remember. I will recite all your works, your exploits I will tell. Your way, O God, is holy. What God is as great as our God? You alone are the God who did wonders. Among the peoples you revealed your might. With your arm you redeemed your people, the descendants of Jacob and Joseph. You see, it's turning. It's turning, my friends. It's turning and looking back and saying, wow, God is powerful, even though I'm not feeling that way right this moment. Here's the rest of it. The waters saw you, God. The waters saw you and lashed about, trembled even to their depths. The clouds poured down their rains. The thunderheads rumbled. Your arrows flashed back and forth. The thunder of your chariot wheels resounded. Your lightning lit up the world. The earth trembled and quaked. Through the sea was your path, your way through the mighty waters. Though your footsteps were unseen, you led your people like a flock under the care of Moses and Aaron. It's the end of the psalm. That's the beauty of holy complaining. Crying out to God, but then getting ourselves to a place where, like the psalmist, we are reminded of God's power and might. And that's why I love the Psalms during my times of distress. I think you will too. I think you will very much find solace in the Psalms of lament and complaint. So my friends, wow, we're already at the end of the show. We've talked about so very much today, and I think it's important, this idea of holy complaining. Complaining doesn't mean you're a wimp. It doesn't mean that you're a bad person. Complaining is a human response to suffering. It's how we channel that complaining, what we do with it, that matters most. So as we go through our week, let's remember that there is such a thing as holy complaining, which is honest communication with God. And it doesn't get more beautiful than that, my friends. Honest communication with God, particularly in your Eucharistic adoration. Particularly then. So I encourage you to grab your Bible, go to Eucharistic adoration, and just sit with the Psalms. That's right. Go through the Psalms. Pick them randomly or look up some ahead of time and pray the Psalms there before our Lord. You will have an experience that is out of this world, because you will feel a release and a relief of your anguish. I promise. So it's time to bring our show to a close. If you'd like to know more about me, if you'd like to become part of my ministry of leading the world to Christ through Mary, if you'd like to subscribe to my newsletter, invite me to speak, please visit margefenelon.com. That's margefenelon.com. There is a wealth of inspiration and joy waiting there for you. You can also connect with me on my website via email, marge@margefenelon.com. There's a little contact section of the menu, so you can find that and get through to me, send me an email. Or you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or Pinterest. Also on LinkedIn. I'm all over the place. Just search Marge Fenelon and you'll find me. I can't wait to hear from you. I really look forward to that. Before you go, I ask that you help me bring the world to Christ through Mary by sharing this podcast with people in your life. Please, please share this podcast. Please, please comment. Please push the little like icon. Let people know about Simply Holy. Hey, thanks for listening. Until soon, let's remember that the only thing stopping us from becoming holy are the excuses we make for not pursuing it. May God bless you and our Mother Mary protect and guide you.
I'm Father Dwight Longenecker. I hope you've enjoyed listening to some of my podcasts here at Breadbox Media. But today I'm speaking to you about a different opportunity. In September 2020, I'll be leading a fantastic pilgrimage cruise from Rome to the Holy Land, and then on the way back, stopping at the cities of St. Paul, Ephesus, Athens, Corinth, and more. While we're at sea, I'll be lecturing on the Gospels, history, or mystery. When we're on land, I'll invite you to join me as we visit all of the holy sites, celebrating Mass, worshiping together, and having a wonderful time of fellowship. If you'd like to know more about this pilgrimage cruise, go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com. Go to the right sidebar, and you'll see a picture there, which invites you to get more information. Go to my website, dwightlongenecker.com, right sidebar, click on the picture of the cruise ship, and you'll get all the information you need. Alternatively, you can call the company that's organizing the tour at 800-247-0017. 800-247-0017. Ask for Father Longenecker's Cruise to the Holy Land. Thanks for listening.
Jack Kane Ford. Find your next Ford Tough vehicle at caneford.com.